praise him some more. Amen. Because he's worthy to be praised, right? Hallelujah. Despite the COVID and the liberal left, God's still worthy to be praised. And whatever you want to call whatever's going on in Portland and these other cities, my goodness gracious, we've lost our minds. You know, our forefathers, I don't know which one said it, but one of our forefathers said that our Constitution was only made for a moral people. You know, because it's a free, we are a free people, but we're not free to do whatever we want to do. We're free with a purpose. The children of Israel were freed out of slavery for a purpose. Amen. To go worship God. God was going to give him their word at Sinai that would govern their freedom. Amen. How they would teach them how free men should live. Glory to God. What's going on in these cities? It's crazy. Are we on? Oh, well, let's pray and we'll worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was just rambling. Father, we love you and praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God here, Lord, we just invite you to inhabit the praises of your people. Be enthroned in our praises this morning, Lord. We ask that you destroy yokes and lift burdens. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen.
Revival and spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart full of joy cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. In the valleys that I wander, turn to mountains that I can't climb. Oh, you are with me, you never leave me. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. I've got an old church choir singing my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Nothing gonna steal my joy.
Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Glory to God, we praise you. Hallelujah. We magnify you, holy God, this morning. There is none like you in all the heavens.
Hold your heart. We
what stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you for
joy still comes in the morning. Hope still walks with the hurting. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. Don't stop dancing and dreaming. Still good news worth repeating. So lift your head and keep singing.
Roll by, we wonder why we lost our way from home. Our father finds the child inside. We left the growing old.
Impossible, ever stop with you. Oh, Oh,
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at somebody. Don't hug him. Look at somebody and tell them God is for you. Amen. God is for you, Jeannie. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty, mighty name. Man. If that don't light your fire, what's that one guy say? Your wood's wet. Amen. Anybody need an offering envelope? Somebody will get you one. Praise his mighty name. Raise your hand if you need an offering envelope. Anybody? Everybody good? Don't need one? Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. I'm just ready to preach right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his name. But I'll take up the offering because that's what we do. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's pray and we'll give. Father, we thank you for seed week sowing your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God that you will multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Take up the offering, will you, please? You need a pen?
No, I got it.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do what? Oh, I don't know about any of that. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise his mighty name this morning. Glory to God. See, if I say hallelujah, what are you supposed to say? No, that's good. Thank you, Jesus is good. Hallelujah simply is, it, hallelujah is a command. Praise the Lord. So if I say hallelujah, you ought to respond, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we were singing that song. We're singing that song about the dry bones rattling. So turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Praise his mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. A little slow, a little weak. We'll try it again here in a minute. Let's try again now. Hallelujah. Oh, much better, much better. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Janie. Oh, glory to God. Verse 37, let's pray, we'll start. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I just thank you this morning that you are with us in the morning, in the evening, in our coming, and in our going. You are with us. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And,
I've started something now. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all round, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed there were very dry. They were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, anybody that's ever studied prophecy at all understands that this is talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, which was destroyed in 70 AD. Everybody was dispersed. There was a second revolt in 135 AD, and the rest of the Jews were dispersed into other lands. However, in Jewish study, there are four different interpretations of the Word of God. One is a literal interpretation, and then there's another one that has a hidden meaning or a spiritual meaning underneath it. And I think we'll look at the spiritual meaning of this morning, because not only does this speak literally of the nation of Israel, but I think spiritually it speaks to the church right now in the hour that we live in. We need for God to breathe on His church today. You notice it says, and they became an exceedingly great army. Amen? Amen. We know that the nation of Israel, the size of the state of New Jersey, has the third most powerful army in the world. Somebody say amen or oh me. However, we're talking about a spiritual level here, a spiritual understanding of this. How many know that one of the compound names of God is the Lord of hosts? Amen. Amen. The captain of the army of Israel. Amen. Amen. The church is not only the body of Christ, but we are to be the army of God. Amen. How many know that this army of God in America today needs some breath? We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow on us again. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we got some battles to fight. We're in a conflict right now. Amen? We need the power of God to begin to breathe upon us. Glory to God. But let me say something to you real quick. You know, in the Hebrew Bible, back during the times of the Levitical priesthood, you know, it was the priest's responsibility to keep the fire burning on the altar. Amen. Amen? Right? It wasn't God's responsibility. It was the priest. Now, my Bible tells me in Revelation chapter 1 that by the blood of Jesus, He has made us both priests and kings. Amen? And as a priest unto God, it's my responsibility and your responsibility to keep the fire on the altar of your heart burning. Amen? In other words, you don't just come to church on Sunday morning and expect God to show up. You need to talk to God. You need to seek God Monday through Sunday. Amen? Or let's go Sunday through Monday. All right? However you want to do it. Okay? But it's up to you to seek God. Let me read a couple other verses because it gets real interesting here. I had no intentions of going here, but when I heard that song and the Holy Spirit prompted me, I was like, yes, Lord. And I thought, well, what about all the other stuff that's in there? Because there's some stuff in here that might make you want to shout. You don't want to shout, do you? Well, okay. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. You know, I believe there's probably some people in America that feel that all hope is lost today. Amen. You know, it was interesting. I may have told you this. You know, we had to put everybody at work for us through the sensitivity training. And the guy was dry and boring. Okay, and his material was drier and even more boring. And he had 95 slides. I said, 95 slides. Click, click. And he read each one of them. I praise God every time I seen a slide that just had one word. But he made the statement, you know, you have to take this in order to satisfy these bigger companies you work for. He said, I don't want you just to check the box. He said, I want you to think about this. I want this to change your life. And I'm like, oh boy, we're in trouble. Because my Bible says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, only the gospel of Jesus Christ can change a heart. Amen. Amen. Not a 95 slideshow on sensitivity to 35 redneck truckers. We're going to make you sensitive. Not on your life. Hallelujah. But it's God that can change your heart. It's God that can give us hope. Amen. So in verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Now, what's he talking about? I will bring you up out of the grave. He's talking about a resurrection. First of all, he was talking about restoration, restoring the people to the land. And now the next thing, people ask me all the time, what's next? What's next? You know, I don't know. But it looks like to me, we're in for a trumpet sounding. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are like him shall be changed. Or we shall be changed and be like him. Amen. But look what else it says. Let's keep going here. Just so you know. And then I'll get to my message. We'll skip over the part about the two sticks. All right? Anyway, I'll tell you what it says. He says, take two sticks. He says, write on one, one for Judah and one for Ephraim. And put the two sticks in your hands. They represent the whole house of Israel. All right? Now jump down to verse 21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. How many know he's doing that right now? Wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king over them. Uh-oh. One king shall be king over them. What king would that be? Jesus. Amen. They shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people. I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. They will have one shepherd, Jesus. Amen. So we see a restoration of the land of Israel, God bringing the people back. We see the resurrection of the dead, and we see Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That ought to give you hope. Amen. But I want to go back to the part we started on, and that was the army of God. The dry bones, God breathing on the dry bones and raising them up to be an army. And the body of Christ is to be an army for God. Amen. And you know, as soldiers in the army of God, we have some weapons. Yes, we do. Amen. I want you to turn to Acts 16. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. And one of the biggest weapons we have is the weapon of praise. Amen. You know, praise will change your circumstance. Amen. Praise will change your attitude. Amen. You get down in the molly grubs. You get to feeling sorry for yourself. You get to thinking everybody in the household's done lost their minds and they're all against you. Yeah. Well. Dog even bit me and a cat scratched me. It's not going good. You ain't got a cat, have you? You? Yeah. Oh, man. I don't. Poor old Cyro's rolling over in his grave. Okay. All right, let's get back. Let's get back. I got you on a rabbit trail. Let's get back. Acts 16. Acts 16. You know this story, right? Verse 23. You know, old Paul, he done cast out a spirit out of this girl, spirit of divination out of this girl. And, you know, it costs the good old boys in this town some money. That's making money off this girl. So let's pick it up in verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, against old Paul and Silas. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, how many of you could say that Paul and Silas, after being beaten, thrown in the inner center, the innermost part of the prison, shackled and chained, they could have possibly said, I just don't feel like worshiping tonight. I don't feel like going to church tonight. I don't feel like praising God.
All right.
Huh? Amen. Come on, let's be honest here. Yeah. A lot of us, if our checkbook's not where we would like to see it, we can't praise God. That just consumes us. Or maybe something else is not going right in our life. Maybe the kids are acting up, or the grandkids are acting up, or the in-laws and outlaws are acting up. You know, you've heard this said a million times probably. What you feel like has nothing to do with praising God. Because he's worthy. He is the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe, and he's just waiting to be enthroned in the praises of his people. So Paul and Silas are beaten, right? Thrown in the innermost part of the prison. And the old jailer, he didn't want him to escape, so he doubles it up. He locks the bars and he shackles and chains them up. But then the Bible says, but at midnight. How many know God's never on your time schedule? Have you found that out?
Yes.
Never on your time schedule. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Do you know your attitude is seen by everybody around you?
Yes.
Amen. Your attitude can affect everybody around you. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Praise and worship and prayer changed their circumstance. Amen. If it changed Paul and Silas' circumstance, it can certainly change our circumstance. Amen. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Amen. Man, God can change a circumstance, but not only can he change your circumstance, he could change the circumstance of the people around you that are closest to you.
Yes.
All right, let me keep going.
Amen.
I want to do Just a couple more. Go with me. Go with me to where I want to. Which one of these I want to go? Go with me to Psalms 34. Psalm 34. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
A couple of them was on it, man. Guess it was the men folk that time. Make us look good, guys. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Go back to verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many know praise is not something you do on Sunday morning only? I believe praise is a lifestyle. We all have habits, things we do every day. We do things a certain way every day. And we don't like it when somebody comes in our house and they do those things a different way, right? Okay. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is, we need to develop that habit of praise. You know, when Paul says we should pray always with all prayer and supplication, you know, the Jews had some 100 blessings that they bless God with every day. You get around a Messianic Jew, one who's been brought up in Orthodox Judaism, and now they've came over, they recognized Jesus, now they're born again, and you get around them, that they use that word blessing all the time. All the time. And it's bless Hashem, bless the name, bless God. And it's something that's been ingrained in them from a small child. So, you know, with us, when we face difficulty, we need to train ourselves to praise God. To make it a lifestyle, to give God the glory, amen? Maybe if we were praising him more, we wouldn't be as susceptible to the Molly Grub tree, huh? And the woe is me tree, and the feel sorry for me tree. That might be a bush, but it's every tree. One more, go to Psalms 100, and we're going to take communion and I like this one. Psalms 100. It says, make a joyful, verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were cursed because they did not serve God with joy and gladness. Huh? You know, you can't be mean and hateful all week long and walk around worrying and fearful and then come to church on Sunday morning and expect to get something from God. Just saying. The psalmist says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Oh, dear Lord, they're starting church an hour early. I've been so used to sleeping in. The heat don't bother me. I'm cold-natured anyhow. Somebody must have said that because you're all laughing. Hey, serve the Lord. I've lost it now. You guys done tickled me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. See, when you're praising God, you're actually coming before his presence. Know the Lord. He is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now watch. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I never ever go into God's presence for prayer without first praising him. Sometimes I'll start in Psalms 145 and just read the last five or six Psalms, because they have a lot to do with praising God. And then in our prayer book, if you've got your prayer book out in the last 8 months, 10 months, you know, in it are the names of God. And the Bible says to praise him according to his name. Amen. But I never just walk into God and say, "Oh, God, help me." I always enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. Now, why do I do that? Because my Bible tells me to. You know, Katrina was talking about knowing your Bible and standing on truth, right? Well, how do I enter God's presence? Now, think about what I just said. I enter it with thanksgiving and praise. The fruit of my lips, giving thanks to a holy God. Now, think about what I just said. Entering God's presence. Entering the presence of the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe. Amen? I mean, we can go, the Bible tells us to go boldly to that throne of grace, right? And I do come boldly because I'm his child. He's my father. But I go humbly and reverently because he is the King of the universe. And my Bible says to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And if you'll practice that, your whole mindset will change where God is concerned. Because I began to see God as the King of the universe. That nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And it's a great gift to live in troubled times that we live in and get to live by faith and trust in a God who is faithful. Amen. And you know, we think we've got it tough at times here. You come Tuesday night, I'm going to give you the untold story of the pilgrims. What it was that drove them from England and why they came here. And what happened to them on the way? You know, I found it really interesting. We study the Jewishness of Jesus. We study the Hebrew Bible and the Hebrew word. Well, you know, before the pilgrims, I'm going to give you a little commercial. Before the pilgrims came to America, they first went to Holland. And it was in Holland that they met a couple scholars who were studying the Hebrew language and the Hebrew Bible. And William Bradford and William Brewster, the two leaders of the pilgrims, carried in their Bibles a list of Hebrew words translated into English. They were Hebraists. I just thought that was kind of cool, you know. So they went to Holland first to escape the Queen before they ever came here. And it took them a couple attempts to get to Holland because they got hoodwinked a couple times. Okay? But here's the point I want to make. They trusted in a faithful God. Amen. And they went through far more difficulties than what we're going through right now. Yeah. Amen? And they maintained their hope and faith. And you know what? They almost starved to death. You know why? Because they were practicing communism when they first got to America. They were working as a community. And they almost starved to death because they made a deal with some merchants. You know, so they thought they had to work together. And it wasn't until William Bradford gave everybody their own land, they started working their own land, that their land started producing. Free enterprise, free capitalism. I'm just saying it works, okay? Amen. But my point is this. We think we are dealing with things that are new. Yeah. The devil has nothing new. He just rehashes the same old stuff. And the problem is some people keep falling for it. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. But we serve a God who is worthy of our praise. Amen. So before you go in there to pour your heart out, enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Let the fruit of your lips give thanks to an almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How's your leg today? Come on. Come this way. Come behind you.